You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, March the 20th. The calendar has turned to spring, and our march around the world is in full bloom. Thank you for being here with us tonight, your host, James Edwards. And we are going to be making stops this evening, ladies and gentlemen, continuing our world tour in Croatia and Scotland tonight. And one of the things that I have most enjoyed about this series, I don't know, I say this, I know I'll say it again, I've said it before, I'm not sure if I've ever had as much fun broadcasting. There's just something special about this series. And I think one of the things about it is not only are we bringing you top flight guests, but they're calling in from their native soil. It'd be one thing to have someone who was born and raised in one of these nations, but it's calling in from California or New York. But no, these people are staying up late for you, staying up into the wee hours of the morning on Sunday morning to be with us. And that is what Dr. Tomislav Sunic, the former Croatian diplomat, will be doing in just a few minutes from his hometown of Zagreb. And then later, Reverend Jim Dosen of Scotland. He'll be back with us and making his encore appearance, having first appeared with us late last year. Later in the broadcast, though, we're going to bring Keith Alexander back on. In the third hour, we're going to be offering some contemporary headlines, commentary rather, on headline news that is happening stateside, including the upcoming trial of Derek Chauvin. We've touched on that. We'll dive into that a little more deeply. The Atlanta massage parlor shootings and how the left and the enemy is really desperately trying to switch this into some sort of a perverted form of white supremacy. I don't really know what they're doing there, but we'll get to the bottom of it before the end of the show. I promise you that, with two more incredible guests. You've been around the world. We continue around the world. We are midway through our march around the world tonight, and next week we'll wrap it up, and then we go into April with the Confederate History Month series, which we've been doing annually now for 16 years. We always look forward to that. And then in May, we've got, something else we're working on. So it's just going to be a special event every night, every show we feature. Don't miss it. And yes, I said May. We're not going anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. What would we do without you? You took our most recent and most serious attack to date, and you turned it into an advantage. You, quite simply, are blowing the barn door off our first quarter fundraising appeal, even though we lack the ability now to process online contributions thanks to censorship and the hatred that is thrown our way. But after losing the ability to process online contributions, a deluge of support has flooded in from around the world. You have rallied our listening family, rallied to such an extent that our program is now stronger than ever before. We have had good months. We've had good quarters. We have had some okay quarters, but I can tell you now already, with still 10 days left to go, we've never had a quarter like this. I, I knew when we lost that ability to process contributions online that it would be a problem that we would have to deal with, and all we can do is let you know what's going on and see what happens. But not even I could have foreseen just how strongly you would respond. You have steadied us and placed us back on solid ground, and for that, I cannot thank you enough. Of course, you know, we don't have commercial sponsors or foundational grants, and of course, every obstacle is in our way that you could possibly imagine. So now we have to rely on checks and money orders to keep us going, as our online processing isn't likely to return. It's going to be an ongoing battle, but that's going to be a cause of concern for tomorrow. So for now, we say, and I say again, what an honor it is to be able to continue to serve as your voice. You're the tip of our spear. You make the difference. The bond we share with you is unmatched, and I will never offer you anything but my absolute best. And truly, TPC could also stand for the People's Champion. I think I've said that once before this month, because it's incredible to see the number of cities, the states, even the nations from which we've received support during this, our emergency appeal. And folks, we normally like to give a shout out to all of the ports of call from which we receive support. If we did that this show, we'd never do anything else. We have received hundreds of letters, hundreds of emails. We could never get to them all, but the notes that are included with every contribution, no matter how big or small, they all, listen, it's all relative, and it all means the same to us in spirit. Dear James, sorry for taking so long. David in Texas writes, this check is for the rest of the year. Now, David is one of our good friends, dear friends, and a monthly recurring donor, or at least he was online. He's just sending a check for the entire year, his entire year, one. And Leo, up in Illinois. James, keep up the great work. Well, we will, Leo, and we can, thanks to you. Leo's another guy who's a quarterly donor online. Never before sent a check. Well, he's sending checks now. Thank you very much. And we've received even letters such as this. Have never listened to your show before, but know it by reputation to be a lion. And a contribution from there, a supporter who's never even tuned into the political cesspool, but knows us by reputation. Folks, we love you. We thank you. And I want to give a big shout out right now to Mance Jolly and the Jolly Boys at Dixie Republic. I've been so moved by the support we've received this month that I want to send everybody something. You know, normally when we do these quarterly fundraising drives, which are our life's blood, we send an incentive gift out to people who can donate $100 or more. You got to pay for the gift. You got to pay for the postage, you know. So $100 or more, that triggers a gift. But I want to send something, at least something, even something small, to everyone who's given, because this has been such a critical fundraising drive. You gave $5. You gave $2. You're going to get something for us, from us. And you can thank our friends at Dixie Republic for that. I said, I called them up at Dixie Republic. I said, I need something I can send everybody. This has been too important. The outpouring of affection and support from our audience has been so wonderful that I want to send everybody something. I got something for you. So everybody, if you sent something, no matter what, you're going to get a signed thank you letter from me and a little something extra from our friends at Dixie Republic. DixieRepublic.com. Be sure to check them out and support them, because Confederate History Month is coming up and you want to be well outfitted and you want to be geared, and you can get your gear at DixieRepublic.com. I want to thank them again for their support and what they sent us to send to you. When we come back, announcements and updates out of the way. Let's get down to work tonight with Tom Sunic in Croatia. He's coming your way next.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
I know, ladies and gentlemen, you probably don't know what they're singing right there, but one of the things we've wanted to do this month as we take this march around the world is to feature the patriotic and uplifting songs from each of the nations that we're featuring this month. And so we asked Dr. Tom Sunik, what do you got in Croatia that we can play? And that's actually something a little more modern. That is a popular ethno hard rock band in Croatia. They've been banned in a lot of places in Europe, but they are allowed to give concerts in Croatia. And I was watching this concert on YouTube, that particular performance, and it's just a huge crowd of Croatians waving the Croatian flag, waving these patriotic and traditionalist flags, and it's just a wonderful thing to see, and it's wonderful to be able to tap in to the spirit of each of these nations that are the expression of European mankind. And so we continue that now with our good friend Dr. Tomislav Sunic. He holds a doctorate in political science from the University of California at Santa Barbara. He is a frequent lecturer, gives lectures around the world, and has authored several books, including Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age, and how about this for a title, ladies and gentlemen, Against Democracy and Equality, the European New Right. Tom is also a former diplomat for the Croatian government, and he joins us tonight from his hometown of Zagreb. Tom, how are you?
Thank you very much, and let me first extend my greetings to all of your listeners and to all of patriots all around the world.
Well, right back to you, my friend, from us and from this audience, on behalf of this audience, to you and staying up so late to be with us in Croatia. We do appreciate it. And we played that musical selection you sent us. I know we've got a lot of important things to talk about tonight, but that's not necessarily unimportant. Tell us a little bit more about that band and what that song means when translated into the English language.
Well, pretty much sure some of your listeners may have heard about Marko Perković Thompson and his band. He's a very unusual musician. In fact, he's a frontman of this band, which plays, hard rock. It has a hard rock instrumental background, and it combined with some old ancient Croatian lyrics. It has a little bit of a martial strain in it, and of course it appeals also to the rejuvenation of not just Croatian but European bloodline. So specifically in this tune, in his song Geni Kamena, in English that would mean like genes of stone, he refers about the necessity how Croats need to rejuvenate their the gene pool, in fact, how they should stay proud of their origin, of their peasant origin, of their warrior origin as well. So, in fact, I would suggest to your viewers also to Google up his name and this song. This song has been translated into English and Russian as well. And I could go now for hours and just talking about him. By the by, this guy has been also targeted by some quote-unquote Antifa groups, including some Jewish groups in the United States, like I think not the ADL, but B'nai B'rith. And of course, but by and large, he is extremely popular in Croatia, not just among quote-unquote white nationalists, but also among just simple folks from all walks of life, including, you know, his concerts is also attended, you'd be surprised, not just by quote-unquote nationalists and patriots, but also by nuns, priests. So he's probably just about the only only musician here in Croatia who appeals to a larger audience across the board.
Well, I was just going to say, Tom, that I mentioned to the audience just a moment ago, I have the ability here, obviously playing this from the studio, to see the video that accompanies this song on YouTube, and to see just it looks thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands of fans here cheering and screaming, all for a patriotic and healthy message, which would lead me to my next question. You are obviously not only bilingual, as all of our guests are, but you've spent a lot of time in the States as well as your native country. What would you put the overall standing of Croatia when compared to America in terms of mental health, I guess you could say, with regards to the issues that animate your work and mine? It would certainly look, according to this video of this particular concert, that the Croats are certainly doing a little bit better than the dumbed down and deracinated Americans are.
Let me just put it briefly, if I may, James. First and foremost, I would like to invite all of you folks, if you have a chance, I'll probably assist you a little bit with some of my suggestions. Do relocate, if you can, to Croatia. Probably the only advantage Croatia has, as of now, we can discuss about this later on, it's literally probably the only white, totally white enclave in Europe, in the European Union. Now, I'm not sure how long this is going to last, but certainly in terms of overall security, in terms of, if you wish, homogeneity, in terms of your ethnicity, you certainly would feel much better than, for instance, in Atlanta, or for that matter, in Orlando, or let alone on the East or West Coast. You know, I'm not saying it's a small country, by the way. So I'm definitely, folks, I'm inviting you to come over. If I can be of any assistance, come in and check me out, or I can probably assist you. Now, overall, you know, there are some disadvantages, like Croatia is located in the area of Europe, which has traditionally been subject to tectonic earthquakes. So, I mean, just metaphorically speaking, it's been always a sort of a crossroads of different fightings and infightings, and this has been going on since the Illyrian times, since the Roman times. So now at this time, what we are facing, be it you, be it folks in New Mexico, or for that matter in Arizona, Croatia is a transit route for literally hundreds of thousands of migrants coming from Bangladesh, Afghanistan, and Muslim migrants mostly, and of course they don't want to stay in Croatia. They're heading all toward Germany, which is about 200 miles from where I live. Austria is about 100 miles from where I live. So basically, this is the problem. So, but guys, again, take your chances. Come over here. You won't regret. At least you can do some scouting. I'm not sure, James, if I'm answering to your question right away, or if you want to be a little bit more specific.
Well, no, I was just thinking, if you went up to your average citizen of Croatia and you started to engage them in a conversation about nationalistic issues, would your talking points be better or worse received than it would here with an average American?
Again, you have to put things in perspective. Croatia went through war about 30 years back, so 25 years back. So things like, you know, self-denial or self-abnegation, which you see, for instance, which you observe, which you can sense among American academics and, of course, in this lying media, which you are being bombarded with. It's certainly non-existent. We don't have any Antifas here. We have some Mickey Mouse Antifa, but it's not a big deal. So in a sense, yes, the sense of pride, as you can see it on this video clip that I sent you, folks are proud of being Croats, of being white, and they explicitly, they say, they formulate it, unlike in the United States, unlike on the West and East Coast, you know what I mean by that. So I guess that's certainly the advantage. And this is certainly an advantage over Germany. You know, Germany is also a very self-denying country. I'm pretty much sure, folks, you know, that there's a huge difference, let's say, between Western Europe, quote-unquote liberal Europe, Western Europe, and Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, there is definitely, as of now, well, definitely, but certainly there is much more freedom of speech, let's put it that way. You can say certain things, for even nowadays in Croatia, despite this liberal leftist government we have here, than for instance, in Germany, where you truly have to practice utmost precaution, even when you crack a joke about some foreigners. So definitely, I would suggest you guys that to consider Croatia certainly much better in this respect. Now, having this in mind, again, I don't want to pontificate about the First Amendment. America still has the First Amendment. There are certain themes, not just in Croatia, but also in all parts of Europe, that you are not supposed to tackle on, not even your wildest dreams. You're not going to talk about Jewish victimology or victimhood. You're not going to talk about certain things. Of course, you can crack jokes. You can make fun of the holograms. You can talk about communist killing fields. You can raise the numbers. You can downgrade the numbers. But there are certain things, as far as the serious question is concerned, you never, ever want to touch. That's it. There's no First Amendment
All right.
here.
That's interesting. So they may be more racially healthy, so to speak, but there's still some benefits here with regard to the First Amendment that even these more racially healthy and racially conscious nations of Europe do not have. So this is an interesting compare and contrast. We'll continue to find out more from Tom Sunik, live from Croatia, next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Brazilian variant of coronavirus has been detected for the first time in the state of New York. A Brooklyn woman in her 90s has been diagnosed with the strain that has been called a variant of concern by the CDC. The variant is one of those several strains that have been singled out by the CDC because of their increased transmissibility and harsher symptoms. They're also tracking variants first identified in the UK, South Africa, and two from California. Dr. Anthony Fauci said Friday that variants of the virus could soon account for up to 30% of infections in the U.S. The White House chief medical advisor has singled out the UK variant, saying that strain is about 50% more transmissible than the original virus. And the annual White House Easter egg roll has been canceled for the second straight year due to the pandemic. A spokesman for First Lady Jill Biden says the Bidens hope to continue the tradition of the egg roll in 2022. Virtual events will instead be held, and the White House will send out commemorative eggs to local hospitals and vaccination sites. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network, is looking for their next rockstar broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rockstar show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rockstar broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today to get started with your own show. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
The White House announced its pick for NASA administrator on Friday, tapping former Florida Senator Bill Nelson to head the agency. Nelson became the second sitting member of Congress to travel into space in 1986 when he flew aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia while a member of the House of Representatives. Acting NASA Administrator Steve Jurczyk tells Fox News that it's very important for the agency to be headed by someone who has an understanding of the inner workings of Congress.
So it's really important to have that really good relationship with the administration, including the president and vice president, as well as our authorizing and appropriations committee and their staff on Capitol Hill. What we do takes years and decades. And so having that continued support over a fairly large period of time with the budgets that support the goals and objectives for the agency is super important and critical for us being successful to do the amazing research, technology development, and missions that we have planned for the nation.
This is USA Radio News.
Like a little Croatian rock to accentuate an appearance by Dr. Tom Sunik, who has been appearing on this show for a long, long time. I can remember visiting an orchard with Tom in the South many, many years ago. It had to be in the mid-2000s. We were traveling together to give a joint speech at a conference in Alabama. And he's just been a dear friend for a long time. He's doing great work and representing his people and his nation with dignity and honor, which is something that is found, too far in between with most men of the West in this day and age. And Tom, it's great to have you. So we're talking about the racial health of Croatia and the rest of Central Europe, Eastern Europe versus Western Europe. And you touched on that. Let's talk a little bit. I know you spent some time in Germany recently. Can you tell us what that trip entailed?
Well, I don't know if we can start with the latest news. There was a big demonstration today in Kassel, which is western part of Germany, between the police, and there was some scuffles, and folks were basically protesting, staging demonstrations against this COVID scare and COVID regulations. And I guess Germany is probably the place I would like to live right now, because not just because of all those regulations they've imposed, but also because of the lack of freedom of speech. There are certain things you simply cannot say. And
did we lose Tom? If we lost Tom, we'll get him back in just a moment. I'm not hearing him in my headset, so if we did lose him, let's try to get him back on the line. Okay, we're going to call Tom back, and we're going to see what happened. Hey, in the meantime, that actually gives me just a quick moment, and we want to take a quick moment to read through as many of these as we can. And we have from Tim in Arkansas, James at TPC, keep up the good work and God bless. Well, thank you for that. Ed in Canada. Yes, Ed, the post office did still work. Dear James, sorry to hear you've been deplatformed. I'm sure, however, that your listeners will not abandon you in your time of need. In close, please find this contribution to add to your funds to keep your program going. Well, thank you so much, Ed. It does help. We did receive it. The post service does still work. If everything, it may be slow and it may take longer to get there than it should, but there it did arrive. Mark in California, James, thank you for all your hard work and your dedication over the years. Well, thank you, Mark, for dedicating your sacrifice over all these years and sacrificing for us and your contributions over all these years. For as long as we've been on the air, you and men like you have been contributing. How about this from Mike in Arkansas? My son wanted me to pass this on to you. Hope your plea results in a flood. And Mike, thanks to people like you and your son, it indeed very much has. Dear James and Keith, enclosed is a money order to help with the costs. Work's been a bit sporadic this year, but we wanted to make a contribution. Thanks for being a voice of sanity in a world gone mad. God bless you. That's Brett up in Washington State. Well, thank you so much, Brett. And for all of these, listen, folks, we could read these. We could read these the entire show. We really could. And so it's just luck of the draw. Not that it's some great honor to have your letter or note read on this program, but we're just pulling these randomly out of the hat. Christy writes, James, we love you guys. Don't give up. They ain't nothing. We are and have everything worth having. They are rotten and evil and neurotic. We are happy warriors. Evil is real and good is real, and good will prevail. You have no choice. You never give up. You never back down. You keep working for good. Our Lord and your friends and family are with you. Well, that's indeed true, my friend, and thank you for the sentiments, and thank you. These notes mean as much as the contributions. Truly, they do. I mean, sentiments don't pay the bills, but they certainly put the wind in our sails. And, of course, when they accompany the mother's milk of politics, well, that certainly, you're covering all the bases there. And all of you, dear people, thank you so much. We're going to check back in. Do we have Tom Sunick again yet?
Yes, I'm back here, guys. I'm sorry about this. I was cut off. This is the first time it ever happens to me. So it wasn't... It wasn't my fault on this side, but it was probably yours.
Well, I'm sure it was, Tom, but that's the nature. Hey, listen, live radio, you know, one thing I've learned, Tom, in 16 years, there's never a mistake in live radio. You know what I mean? So we just had to keep on plugging and keep on punching. But please, my friend, continue on, if you can, where we left off, talking about the racial health.
Yes,
Croatia, Central Europe, Germany, et cetera.
Yes, you know, of course, you know, Croats and Germans, they've been related, they've been affiliated with each other for centuries. You know, it's a long, long, long story, not just the First and the Second World War when Croats were the best allies of the German people, but also in the 30 Years' War and even later in the 70 Years' War. It's a long, long, long story. But by and large, I feel very much, you know, spiritually inclined towards the German culture and towards German language. And, of course, it has been neglected for a long, long period of time. Let alone, of course, I'm sure I could lecture now on this. Germany is a half-sovereign country, so of course they still have foreign troops in their soil, and there are certain things that even in their legislations that was literally Xerox that was copied from the American Constitution and English Constitution, French Constitution. So it's a long story. Let alone that in terms of free speech and free academic inquiry, it's zero. You know, I can tell you it's worse than. It's worse, well, I don't know if it's worse than Indonesia or China, but there are certain things absolutely you're not supposed to tackle, let alone, you know, like the modern historiography, modern Second World War, and so on.
Well, you've been such a jack of all trades. I mean, obviously serving in an official capacity as a diplomat for the nation of Croatia, the Croatian government, obviously as an academic, as a scholar, as an author, as someone who puts serious thought into these most critical questions, you and Kevin McDonald, I would put at the absolute forefront of that particular category. Your books have just been, of course, so groundbreaking and so prescient. But we'll talk about Kevin McDonald and your books in just a moment. But can you give us a situation with regard to the migrant invasion before we go to our next break? Migrant invasion, how do we look in the Balkans with regards to the migrant invasion?
Okay, now keep in mind, I'm sorry if I have to repeat myself, James. Keep in mind there's about 50 million people in the European Union, 50 million people of non-European origin. This is first, second, and third generation, which makes about, let's say, 15 up to 20% of the total European population is of non-European ancestry, non-white ancestry. And this is, in fact, this is a really an extraordinary phenomenon which has happened over the last 4 years, again and again. As far as Eastern Europe is concerned, another paradox I need to draw your attention to is that Eastern Europe, I mean, it's Hungary, Romania, Croatia, Serbia, if you wish, Ukraine, to some extent Russia and so on, Lithuania, Estonia, we are definitely, that's a paradox of history, we are more Europeans. We have retained more or less our gene pool, if I can put it bluntly, than Western Europe. Why? Because of the communist oppression, okay, back during the Cold War. Now, as far as right now the situation is concerned in the Balkans, as I said earlier, the Balkan route, this across the Balkan, including Croatia, of course, it's a very prominent route. Now, of course, for the COVID reasons, it has been a little bit stagnant, a little bit dead, if you would want to put it that way. But just 2 years back, there was about 1 million non-European migrants, mostly Muslim migrants from Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Syria, and so on, Iraq, and even Northern Africa, across, you know, from Greece, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, and of course they're not obsessed with Croatia because Croatia doesn't offer services and freebies as Germany does, or for that matter, as America does. So this, I'm not ruling out, given the fact, keep in mind, I guess we got to have a larger perspective, James. Turkey has about 3.5 million, which is not that far, about 1,000 miles from here. Turkey, 1,500 miles from here. Turkey has 3.5 million, quote-unquote, refugees who are all eager, who are all geared up, you know, to invade, to flood, to come to Western Europe, you know, to come here, you know, get freebies, get this good life, whatever. You know. So I'm not ruling out, despite the fact that Croatia is an enclave, white enclave, a nice place, very secure and safe, you know, police is pretty strong, deployed along the borders of Bosnia and Herzegovina. But you never know, given those stupid quotas, and this is something I need to mention to your viewers, listeners, the quotas imposed by the European Union, whereby all East European countries, member states of the European Union, have to take a certain, what I call it, humanitarian quota of foreign migrants. Huh. Now, this may rock the boat and create some very serious problems here, except, as I said again, Croats are much, you know, they don't have this sense of culture, of cancel culture and all this crap, you know, they're pretty strong about this. And
hold on right there, my friend. We got you for one more segment right after the break.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana. That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me, I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
All right, well, we're just going to come back and bypass any music so we can make up a little time we lost.
Call us on James Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
There's the number. So we're going to make up a little time for Dr. Tony in the last segment when we had the disconnection and get right back to the fascinating statistics he was citing there just a moment ago before the break. And these quotas, these so-called humanitarian quotas that these white nations must fill Tom, I got to make mention of one of our mutual friends, General Zeljko Glasnovic. You introduced me to him some time ago.
I was on the phone with him today, and he's sending his greetings to all of you folks. There was There was a big Catholic procession here, so he attended that with his colleagues and so on. This is for the victims of the earthquake and generally victims. And it was the St. Joseph Day. You know, Croats are very fervent Catholics, very conservative. So, of course, this is like their second identity. So, actually, he sent General Nick Glasnovic. I'm in touch with him on a daily basis, and he likes you very much. And he's sending all your best greetings to all of you guys.
Well, he is an amazing man, and I appreciate you putting us in touch with him. He appeared during this particular series, our March Around the World series, last year. And if people forget, he was not only a general in war, he has also been a sitting member of parliament in Croatia, and he appeared on our program as a sitting member of parliament. Also, his war history, he was shot through the heart, literally, and broke out of the hospital so he could go back and rejoin his comrades on the battlefield. So, you know, that's the kind of people that Croatia feels. And I wonder, Tom, is it because of the suffering that your people have gone through, ancestrally speaking, through communism and through the hardships? A different story than what Americans have with all the prosperity and all the decadence in recent years and recent decades. I see men like you. Do you believe that the people of Hungary, the people of Russia, the nationalists in Hungary, let's focus on our people, the nationalists in Hungary and Russia and Poland and Croatia, they're a little more hardened than the men of the West and a little bit better equipped to deal with the very serious issues that we face right now than the men of the West, Tom?
James, you're reading my mind exactly. People all over Europe, peoples all over Eastern Europe, they've been hardened. They were hardened by communism, by communist repression. So listen, not just myself, I mean, as an academic. I mean, even when you talk to Joe Six back here in Croatia on the street, he will say, what they're talking about, Antifa and so on. They just laugh at what's going on in Orlando, or in Portland or in Oregon and so on. You just can't possibly imagine that. They would be worked over right away, you know, those Antifas and those whatever, transgenderers, you know, they just don't have a chance to cohabitate here. So I guess they don't buy it here. You talk to an average Russian, you talk to an average Czech or Serb or Croat, they just don't buy this Antifa narrative, you know, which has become rooted, which has infected the American society, particularly the academia, which I know best. So by and large, yes, you're quite right. You're using the word which I use quite often, decadence. Yet to some extent, well, to a large extent, this is our own fault. This is white men's fault, white men's burden, you know, metaphorically speaking. We've become too decadent and too much computers, too much of this Hollywood infection and so on. And of course, you know, this affects young generation. And just a word of advice, stay with homeschooling. And my best, you know, I've always been a great fan, and I know quite a bit of Southern history, and I've always admired Southerners. But how long this is going to last, it really depends on us, on our strength and our will to power, will to fight.
Well, you're talking now, my friend, to a Southerner who does homeschool his children. Rather, my wife, of course, has the lion's share of that responsibility. But yes, so we do as a family. We do that. We are traditional Southerners. And we're going to be talking in the very next hour with a Reverend Jim Dowson of Scotland, who will talk a little bit more about that kinsmanship between the Ulsters and Scots and the Scots-Irish and our Southern people. That's coming up in the next hour. But right now, you know, a fascinating conversation. Tom, we could have gone with you, my friend, an hour, really the whole show. I feel as though with each of the guests we've been able to feature, we've had the privilege of featuring during our March Around the World series, we could have gone an entire show with them and still not covered it all. But it is fascinating to talk about the contrast. I'm always fascinated by it anyway, the contrast between Eastern Europeans as they are currently aligned and Western man. Obviously, there are exceptions. I mean, there are those of us here. There are great men of the West still. But by and large, it is the East that may be, in fact, our salvation going forward as a race and as a faith and as a people. And so we look to Hungary and to Poland and to Croatia and to even Russia now for inspiration, because the nations of the West have fallen to this decadence that we've been speaking of. What is the current situation, Tom? There's so much more I want to ask you, though. Your projects with Kevin MacDonald, your books. I mean, we could have spent the full hour just on your books, and it would have not been a wasted moment. But your projects with Kevin, your books, but very quickly, the situation in the EU as a whole. Can Eastern Europe pull all of Europe together to stand up and to defend the faith, to defend the people? Or is that too much to ask?
Well, first, let me tell you, I'm constantly in touch with Kevin MacDonald. We're supposed to have a couple of lectures last year, but you know what happened with this COVID. Should I call it hoax or scare? I don't know, but it certainly sounds very, very surreal, all those regulations, particularly in the United States and also in Germany. In Croatia, it's somewhat more lenient. Now, he's a great man, of course, he's my good friend as well, and we work on several projects, and we're preparing a fifth shift, you know, and write something about his past, you know, books, and also some pieces on sociobiology and so on. Now, you asked me also a question, if I'm correct. You actually asked me many other sub-questions about Croatia as well. So if you could please repeat just the last portion.
Yes, No, my friend, listen, I was trying to jam them all in one sentence because I want to talk to you. I would love to talk to you. We could talk for an hour about democracy and equality versus autocracy and what is best for our people. You have the book Against Democracy and Equality, the European New Right. Perhaps we could touch on that in just a moment. We want to get your contact information and all of that. But overall, what would you say the trends are in the European Union? What is the current situation in the EU? You can break it down in a minute or two.
Yes, and I'll tell you quite frankly, I'm not just skeptical. I'm quite resentful of the European Union because it reminds me very much both in its internal and external structure and in its legislation of former Yugoslavia. And it's not an accident. I call actually the European Union Yugoslavia because it does remind me in terms of its centralizing powers, in terms of its corporate elites that are sitting in Brussels and in Strasbourg. It does remind me quite a bit of a former Yugoslavia and also to some extent of the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. And I can now quote a couple of authors, including Bukowski, the great former Soviet dissident, Russian dissident, and also some critical authors who wrote very, very critically about the European Union. I'm telling you that because Look, this is actually the big problem now. We got rid of some artificial construct known as ex-Yugoslavia, multicultural Yugoslavia, which didn't work. And now we are being imposed, we are subjugated, by this another artificial construct. I know it firsthand because I served in Brussels for 5 years as a diplomat. So whatever you hear about this European Union, please take it with a great deal of salt. And I'm glad that the Brits, at least, regardless of what I think about Johnson, you know, the Prime Minister of the UK, but he did a good thing with Brexit and Nigel Farage and everything. It just, I'm glad that they bailed out, and I hope more countries in the near future will bail out of the European Union. Because basically, what is European Union? It's not a political structure. It's a capitalist, corporate, liberal structure, basically designed for bringing in, if you wish, migrants. They're not even refugees, they're migrants, refugees, as we call them here, migrants, and basically it's a transfer union. Yes, this is the Germans calling the word, refugees, you know. And look what they're doing, and half of it you don't even hear in the press, and the EU doesn't want to talk about this. So when you attack deep state, as Trump did, a great man, by the way, as he did, and we got to say a few words about Trump, because I was a big supporter of his, and I still am. And actually, when you talk about critically about the deep state in the United States of America, keep in mind we also have the deep state, unfortunately, in the European Union. How long this is going to last, I can predict you. I can tell you probably 5 or 6 or 7 years, probably less than that. But it's an unnatural structure. It simply cannot hold together. It will fall apart. Tom, whether there will be another war, I have no idea. But at this state, again, please do allow me. I got to tell you that at this point, I don't really care if you are a Scottish, a Walloon, a Catalan, Irish, Croatian, whatever. We just got to preserve our heritage.
Yes,
we got to preserve our culture.
Yes.
We got to preserve our gene pool.
Pan-Europeanism.
And I guess that's probably something we got to fight for. We got to forget. We got to just shrug off our internal bickering and fight things. It simply doesn't work, and we've got to stick together if we want to survive as a race, if I can put it that way.
You are 100% correct. It is a pan-Europeanism. We can still respect and value our cultural differences as a subgroup of whites, but we are one family above all, and that's what we need to remember. Ladies and gentlemen, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the promotional blog entry for tonight's program, and you can link over to Tom's books. You'll want to know more about Tom Sunick, a great friend of mine, longtime friend of mine. We have the link there, so he doesn't have to give out his contact information. But, Tom, I've got one more question. I believe our people are going to rebound. I believe our people will turn the tide. I believe that we're not going to go out with a whimper. We're not going to go out as apologetic weaklings. Do you believe the same? And correct me if I'm wrong. We have just seconds remaining.
Well, I certainly look you know, James, I'm an American. I'm not American by accident. I chose to be an American, but not that this Aydin-esque American or Harris Kamala-esque, whatever American. I was a great supporter of Trump, and I certainly, if push comes to shove, I'm going to come over and do some homeschooling and do some teaching for kids in Alabama. I'm not ruling that out because it's old. And I certainly wouldn't mind. We don't want to talk only about race and racial issue or Jews, whatever. I can talk about Virgil.
Talk to you again soon, my friend. Thank you, Tom. We love you, buddy.